This is Gladys Petch, bringing you another in the series, Norway Fights On. Our guest today is Lieutenant Colonel Raystart, Chief of the Royal Norwegian Air Forces in Canada, where the Norwegian government has set up a modern training camp for aviators. Lieutenant Colonel Raystart was squadron leader when the war broke out in Norway, and he fought during the 62 days of fighting there, having the command of the Norwegian Army Air Force during those last dreadful weeks. It is indeed a privilege to introduce to you now Lieutenant Colonel Raystart. And I want to ask you first, I understand you've been in England recently, Colonel Raystart, and have seen the Norwegian pilots in action overseas. Can you tell us something of what they are doing?
I wish you could see the reports we get from the places where the Norwegian flyers are in action. Our naval flyers in Iceland are on regular convoy and sub-tracing duty. Our flying boats have been visiting the Norwegian coast for a long while now, and our Spitfires are in daily battle over France, Holland, and Belgium. Two English experts told me that our Norwegian boys are excellent flyers and first-class fighters who do not have to take second place for anyone now, and they will be better. When I was in England, I saw our Norwegian flyers in first line of battle. Serious, hard-working lads who are already veterans of over a year of fighting. And more of them are on the way. Just now, while we are waiting for bombers, most of our bomber pilots are busy in the ferry service. While I was waiting at the airfield in England a few weeks ago, I saw two huge bombers arrive from America. The crews of both ships were boys from Little Norway, who are now taking the trip across the Atlantic as a matter of course. Not long ago, Sir Frederick Bowhill, the chief of the ferry command, was in Little Norway, and he praised the work of our radio telegraphists, navigators, and flyers very highly. Our men in the ferry command are learning to handle even the big four-engine bombers, and as soon as Norwegian bomber units are a reality, they will get a flying personnel which knows the job inside and out, and they will see that we pay back our debts to the Germans in proper fashion. No, you can't be sure we are not unprepared the way we were in April 1940. Now we met the Nazis on an even footing. When the Spitfires meet the German planes in the air and projectiles from Norwegian cannons and machine guns rip into them, the youth of Norway is on the wings, ready to pay back all the sufferings they have brought over our country.
Are you surprised at these results, Colonel?
No, when you think of what these young lads have gone through now. They grew up in a peaceful, contented land where people were used to getting ahead by honest, honorable work. They looked down with the greatest contempt on all dishonorable shortcuts to fortune which bring ruin or slavery or extermination to others, whether individuals or group or whole peoples are concerned and tired. The entire Norwegian people hold such shortcuts in scorn and contempt. Yes, you can safely say the entire Norwegian people, for you cannot pay any attention to the trash you find in every country and which are not as much as 1% of the Norwegian people, weak and normal individuals, opportunists and profiteers, and a drunken good-for-nothings and downright criminals who are our Nazi party today. This cocktail, shaken well together and directed by the Gestapo efficient sadists, was supposed to run our country after the Germans have attacked our peace-loving people in the most contemptible manner, in spite of their most binding and solemn guarantee that they would not. It is clear that our fine youth couldn't stand by and let this rebel be there, after they have fought a stubborn but hopeless fight against the German war machine which has poured in over Norway. It is so far from our Norwegian mentality to let law and justice be replaced by brute force that our youth took matters into their own hands. Nearly everyone of the young men who came here has his own story of underground work that went on no matter how fearful the punishment. His story of and despair and hate of those who were without weapons and a growing desire to fight with real weapons, how these scenes have burned into their souls when no risk or danger could stop them any longer. The day of departure came. It is the same, whether it was a broken-hearted mother who could not hold her tears back, or a proud father, or a little crowd of admiring brothers and sisters who saw Frederick, or Sigurd, or Olaf, or Ola leave for the other side of the earth, for Toronto, where the radio said the Norwegian Air Force was being built up and where the use of Norway was needed to fight back. Perhaps the happiest of all were those who said goodbye only to a loved one's grave before they set out on one of the most adventurous journeys young men have ever undertaken. The Gestapo's fearful punishment could not stop them. They disappeared in every direction. In their wake lay names of places like Moscow, Siberia, Japan, Odessa, Istanbul, Iraq, Baghdad, Bombay, Chongqing, Himalaya, Hong Kong, Manila, Durban, Cape Town, Trinidad, Bermuda, Panama, St. Pedro. These names give an idea of what they have been through since a wild mountain peak or a green hilltop on the border gave them last farewell from the homeland. Yes, and we must not forget the modern Vikings whose courage puts to shame anything their forefathers did in the olden times. They set their course in the west in wretched little boats in the winter storms across the North Sea or the Arctic Ocean to England, Scotland, Shetland, the Orkneys, Iceland, Spitsbergen, Greenland, Chiang Mai, and Newfoundland. Leif Erikson, in his great Viking ship, was an amateur in comparison with these boys who set out in the winter night in frail little vessels. They did not merely have the element to face either. Planes, U-boats, and mines took their harvest. Even if the last thing they saw was a snow-decked poor stripe of coastline with harsh, threatening mountains which disappeared into the winter night, still there is no sight that will warm their hearts more than a sight of that coastline rising from the sea again. Or will a mist in their eyes keep them from seeing it at all? And so, after countless adventures, after months of hardship, they came at last to Camp Little Norway in Toronto. Their spirit rose again when I saw the bright Norwegian flag flying from a high, solid flagpole in real Norwegian fashion. From buildings to buildings, they went to see if things were really like what they heard. Their worn rags disappeared, and they put on their battle dress and got their number as soldiers. Perhaps the telegraph has already brought word of new things in Norway. Someone's father or brother has felt the Nazis' reprisal, and the whole camp is touched by it. Finally, the finishing flyer go overseas to form new Norwegian squadrons or to take the place of those who have fallen. New farewells, but no bitter sorrow now, even if one is going into danger, perhaps to death, for now the journey is in the right direction, towards home. That is why I am not surprised at our flyers' result in the battle. For us Norwegians, it is the most natural thing in the world. Take one illustration. One day I came to one of our fighter squadrons, which are in first line in South England. I wasn't a welcome guest because a rumor had spread that I needed a couple of instructors with battle experience back in Canada. Everyone seemed to say, "What are you doing here? Go back home and don't bother us. We are busy settling up affairs with the Germans and we won't go back to Canada for any price." All this in spite of the fact that the Germans had somewhat better war material and were taking their toll among our people, even if we naturally paid them back for it. One day some Norwegian boys shot down no less than three of these much feared Focke-Wulf 190, the world's best parachute plane.
How is recruiting going on now, Colonel? Do they still get out of Norway? Don't the Germans take reprisals now against whole villages, as well as individual relatives and friends, when anyone manages to escape?
There are very few who escape now. The watch is much sharper than it used to be, and the punishment is more barbaric and extensive than ever before. But the real reason that so few get out is lack of means of transportation, and the fact that they cannot get through the German front in Finland and Russia. And besides, the Air Force is especially unlucky because most of the newcomers are needed for our Army and Navy.
Does that mean, then, you are going to stop the training of new flyers in Canada entirely?
No, we haven't thought of stopping yet. But now I hope there are some Norwegian girls over here who can give us a hand in a pinch. You see, there are some women can handle as well as a man. Not only such things as cooking, cleaning up, office work, driving cars, and the like. I'd like to try them out on a little special mechanic work. And washing and polishing planes, care of parachutes, and such things. So we can free as many of the boys as possible for fighting service overseas. In fact, I have thought of starting a recruit school for girls only just as soon as enough volunteers. If there are any girls between 18 and 30 listening to this program who speak or understand Norwegian and are willing to take any sort of a job in a camp, I hope they will write at once to Royal Norwegian Air Force, Little Norway, Toronto, Canada. Regulations and application blanks will be sent them at once.
I'm sure you're going to get an awful lot listening to you, who will answer you, but isn't it taking quite a chance to admit such a large female element into your work?
Oh, yes. I am well aware that we will have a great many new problems to deal with in the camp when a woman comes. But I don't see why we can't handle those problems all right. However, I will warn every romance-hungry young lady from trying her luck with us. Our people have asked us to go out and fight with everything we have to free our country from the stranglehold the gangster nations have on our country today. Our work is deadly serious and will be until Norway is free again.
Thank you, Lieutenant Colonel Raystad, for a most wonderful talk and for giving us your precious time to come here today. You have heard another in the series, Norway Fights On. And the guest speaker today was Lieutenant Colonel Raystad, Chief of the Royal Norwegian Air Force. And so, until next week, when we shall have another program for you, this is Gladys Petch saying adieu.